تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم
In the name of Allah The All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a front, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
Welcome once again, dear listeners. Let's take a look at what's coming up your way in the next hour. We begin with the latest news. Stay informed with the top headlines and major developments from across the globe. Following the news, immerse yourself in the ocean of dua with Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This reflective program explores the rich spiritual traditions of Islamic supplications and ziyarat, drawing from revered collections such as Mafatih al-Jinan. Each episode features insightful commentary on selected prayers, including Dua-i Komail, Munajat Shabaniya, Dua Abu Hamza Somali, Ziyarat Ashura, shedding light on their meaning and the spiritual guidance they offer. After that, we return to radio productions for another segment of curated content, spanning a wide range of thoughtful and engaging topics. To close the hour, we turn to insights into the Holy Quran with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This program takes listeners to verse by verse through the Quran, offering concise yet profound interpretations that illuminate the divine message and draw out practical lessons for everyday life. Coming up next is news. Please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
reminder of our top stories. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says Israel's legalization of 19 settlements marks a dangerous shift that reduces Palestinian land to colonial spoils. Deadly clashes continue in Thailand and Cambodia border despite claims by the US president that both sides have agreed to halt hostilities. And the US admiral, critical of Washington's boat strikes in Latin America, retires following differences with the administration over the military operations there. Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouri, and this is News. The United Nations General Assembly has passed a resolution demanding Israel open humanitarian access to Gaza and respect UN premises, intensifying global debate over the conflict. The resolution, submitted by Norway and more than a dozen states, won support from 139 countries, while 19 abstained and 12 opposed, including the regime's main backer, the US. Norway's ambassador Merete Field Brattestad warned that civilians are paying the highest price as humanitarian principles erode. The resolution follows an International Court of Justice opinion outlining Israel's obligations as an occupying power. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres recently condemned Israel's unauthorized entry into UNRWA's Sheikh Jarrah compound, calling it a violation of UN premises. Activist and political analyst John Bosnich believes that the United Nations resolution for Gaza is just another futile attempt to solve the aggression and open humanitarian access to Gaza.
It's the same old story. It's an attempt by some Western countries to cover their inactivity, cover their actual participation in the genocide by doing nothing. They sell weapons to Israel. They allow this to take place. They do not impose sanctions on Israel. They do not pursue any kind of international blockade of Israel. This is a bandage which doesn't even stop the flow of blood from the Palestinian people.
The death toll from Storm Byron in Gaza has risen to 14 as the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees warns that severe weather is hitting displaced families hard. Among the dead are three children who succumbed to hypothermia. Gaza's media office says that homes collapsing under fierce winds and flooding have left 1.5 million displaced people in danger of drowning and structural collapses. UNRWA says families are facing the storm without proper shelter. The agency stresses much-needed supplies for more than 1 million people remain blocked by Israelis outside Gaza's borders, calling the restriction a political choice. Israel's genocidal war and all-out blockade on Gaza has killed nearly 70,400 Palestinians since October 2023, most of them women and children. Israeli occupation forces and armed settlers have intensified their attacks against Palestinians across the West Bank, resulting in injuries and widespread destruction. Palestinian sources have said Israeli forces raided Tubas, Bethlehem, Ramallah, and Aria, vandalizing homes, shops, and other property. In Shukba, west of Ramallah, a young Palestinian was wounded after the Israeli forces stormed the village, firing live rounds and tear gas. Confrontations were reported between the Israeli forces and Palestinians in Tamun, Tuku, Al-Mugayr, Silwad, and Akabat Jaber camp. Since the Israeli genocide in Gaza began in 2023, more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed and over 20,000 others abducted in the West Bank. Let us now cross over to the West Bank city of Ramallah and talk to our own correspondent, Naka Hamed. Naka, who better than you to explain what is happening over there?
Thank you, Bahman. Well, who better to explain is the people who are living under complex and hard circumstances that Israeli forces and Israeli settlers are combining their forces to expel many Palestinian families. Let me start from the village of Al-Mghiya to the northeast of occupied Ramallah, where the famous family of Abu Hammam, whom we have been covering their story now for almost 2 years, they have been clinging on to their land, staying put, do not move, and do not uh, do not subdue to the Israeli settlers' attacks, continuous attacks, which has led to many, to multiple injuries among this very steadfast family. Since 2 days now, the Israeli forces have declared the area where the family of Abu Hammam lives a closed military zone and arrested the international activists who were supporting this family in the face of the relentless aggression of the Israeli settlers. Now this family stands alone in front of the settlers and in front of the Israeli forces because the area is considered to be a closed military zone. No one can reach towards that family, no matter what the settler do to that family. No ambulance, no support, no media can even reach towards that family, which leaves them in an imminent threat of the Israeli settlers. This is not an isolated incident, Bahman. This is something that the Israeli regime is trying to impose in every part of the occupied West Bank, as many areas are being under settler attacks, directly under settler attacks. And of course, the Israeli forces do not do a thing, even except in favor of the Israeli settlers, attacking the Palestinians and arresting them. This story has been duplicated in many areas, in the southern villages of Nablus, speaking of Aqraba, precisely in the area of Jabal Karkafa. This area have been also subjected to similar stories. The Palestinians over there are trying to save that area in front of the continuous settler attacks. Also in Beta, to the south of Nablus, the same situation. The Israeli settlers have attacked the Palestinians over there under the cover and under the watch of the Israeli forces. If we are to stay in Ramallah, also the Israeli forces have raided Ramallah, have informed about a military activity, as the Israeli forces calls it, to Al-Amhari refugee camp and to Qalandia refugee camp, south of Ramallah, north of occupied Al-Quds, and attacked many villages in the provenance of Ramallah, like Hania Brud and Bitin to the east of Ramallah. This comes along with these attacks, and these raids are not the only aggression against these villages, but the ongoing aggression of the settlement expansion on the lands of these villages and the road expansion, which is the new phase of the Bezalel Smotrich plan that is being implemented on the ground.
Thank you, Nakah, for the updates. Nakah Hamad joining us from Ramallah. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has warned that Israel's decision to legalize 19 new settlements in the occupied West Bank marks a dangerous escalation. The legalization of the 19 settlements was announced by Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich. Hamas condemned the move as part of a wider project of annexation and Judaization of occupied territories. In a press statement, Hamas said the move reflects the extremist nature of the Israeli regime, which treats Palestinian land as colonial spoils. The movement stressed that settlement expansion violates international law and UN resolutions, warning it aims to isolate Palestinian towns and villages and push communities towards displacement. Hamas urged the international community, the United Nations and human rights organizations to take responsibility and act to stop settlement growth and hold Israeli leaders accountable. The admiral in charge of U.S. forces in the Latin American Caribbean, who has been critical of U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats in the region, has retired 2 years ahead of schedule. Admiral Advil Halsey has reportedly had disagreements with U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth over operations in the region. He had earlier voiced concerns about the legality of the U.S. military's lethal strikes against alleged drug trafficking boats. Since September, the U.S. has deployed more than 15,000 troops, warships and fighter jets in the Caribbean under the pretext of fighting drug traffickers. Venezuela, however, says the military buildup is aimed at toppling the Venezuelan government to gain control of its oil resources. The strikes on boats have killed at least 87 people so far. The U.S. Congress is now scrutinizing the boat attacks, including one that killed two survivors clinging to the wreckage of an initial strike. The U.S. lawmakers in the House Oversight Committee have released new photos from Jeffrey Epstein's state, showing powerful figures entangled with the late sex trafficker. Included in the photos are U.S. President Donald Trump, former President Bill Clinton, Trump's former advisor Steve Bannon, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, and filmmaker Woody Allen. Many of these men have been previously linked to Epstein, but the newly released photos may shed further light on the extent of those relationships. Trump's ties to Epstein are well known, and a recent batch of emails released by the committee shows that Trump had spent hours with one of his most prominent accusers. Epstein emphasized in those emails that Trump knew about the girls. The Epstein files have revealed allegations of trafficking underage girls to his private island with social ties to powerful figures, including Donald Trump. Clashes between Thailand and Cambodian forces continue despite claims by U.S. President Donald Trump that the two sides have agreed to halt hostilities. Trump has said that the two Southeast Asian neighbors would cease all shooting on Friday in return to a peace deal signed in October. Cambodia, however, reported fresh Thai airstrikes on Saturday, accusing Thailand of using F-16 jets to drop the bombs. Thailand's prime minister says a ceasefire would only be possible once Cambodia withdraws all its troops and removes the landmines it has planted. At least 21 people have been killed and hundreds more wounded in 6 days of clashes. Around 700,000 people have also been displaced along the border. The conflict centers on disputed ownership of centuries-old temples. In order to talk more about these tensions between Thailand and Cambodia, I'm now joined by Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us from Bali, Indonesia. Very good to have you on the program, Barry. I wanted to talk to you about the root causes of these current clashes and how do you think these historical disputes shape today's conflict?
Well, look, I mean, this is the drama that goes back indeed many, many centuries, but the sort of immediate cause relates to borders that were drawn back in 1907 under French guidance, which at the time the Thais didn't take issue with, and for many years didn't take issue with. But there's a short stretch of border that leaves a particular temple on the Cambodian side of the border that has been a hotspot now for a number of years. And there's been flare-ups going back certainly at least 10 or 15 years that I recall, having spent a year living in Thailand when it was going on the last time. And frankly, it's all something of a distraction. I mean, on the one hand, you have Thailand, which is a close U.S. ally. In fact, it's often said that there are more FBI agents in Thailand than in any other city in the world, including the U.S. Notwithstanding that the FBI is a domestic police agency. In any event, Thailand's a very close ally of the U.S., but it's also a very authoritarian country with coups, that is, coup d'etat not being uncommon, and a very authoritarian government where saying anything in criticism of the state, let alone nominally the king, has all sorts of very serious consequences. In terms of what's playing out now, certainly neither side is being completely honest. And it's kind of odd, really, that there still are no observers on the ground, because what we have is sort of conflicting allegations always about who fired first. And I'm inclined to believe the Cambodians myself. But the idea that Trump can just make a few phone calls and make it all go around shows how delusional he is. Just how to fill in his bingo card so he can claim having stopped another war. And it's simply not going to happen. In fact, the current leadership of Thailand made that perfectly clear, that they're not really willing to discuss a ceasefire. And the terms they've set for discussing a ceasefire are far less than clear.
It was a pleasure talking to you and hear from you, Barry. Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us from Bali, Indonesia. Hundreds of people have held a protest in the Canadian city of Montreal against the cancellation of a program which guarantees citizenship for skilled migrants.
All
demonstrators gathered outside the Immigration Ministry's office holding placards and banners calling for the return of the PEQ program. Some protesters say the cancellation of the program will put the lives of thousands of immigrants in jeopardy. The PEQ was an immigration program that allowed temporary workers to apply for permanent residency. The government says the program had certain flaws and will be replaced with a more rigorous process aimed at curbing illegal migration. And the 19th edition of Cinema Verite Iran International Documentary Film Festival has opened in Tehran. The week-long event has drawn some of the most prominent non-fiction filmmakers. Gisumush Ahmadi has more in this report.
In Tehran, excitement is running high as the 19th Cinema Verite International Documentary Film Festival has opened its doors. Screenings have begun, drawing filmmakers, critics, and enthusiasts.
This year's festival presents a wide range of films with diverse themes, which is one of its main strengths. 68 films compete in the national section, and nearly 70 take part in the international section. We have also added a new category focusing on Iran, its rich history, and the 12-day war. Many of the strongest works we receive belong to this section.
One of the most remarkable features of this year's festival is the unprecedented presence of some of the most iconic documentary figures. With fresh visual styles and bold storylines, their works represent the new generation shaping the future of nonfiction cinema. The festival's international section this year stands out for its high-profile selections.
I submit to this festival because I read in their website they have this very strong care about human rights and children's rights, also about women filmmakers. So that's why I decided to submit, and then they select my film for the it's in the international competition.
Meanwhile, the Iranian section also reflects the nation's recent history.
This festival is the highest-ranking documentary festival in Iran and enjoys international prestige. That is why I chose to premiere my film here. It is a biographical documentary about a man with a clear vision, someone who left a lasting impact not only on our region, but far beyond.
This year's edition is defined by diversity. Works shaped by social issues, human stories, wartime experiences, and innovative visual approaches.
With celebrated veterans, ambitious newcomers, and international premieres, the 19th Cinema Verite Festival sets the stage for one of the most competitive and closely watched editions yet. Gisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
And that is a wrap for this hour's news bulletin. Thank you so much for staying with us.
Strong, a thorn. ocean of dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters in faith, dear listeners of RIB English Radio. You're listening to The Ocean of Dua. In the recent episodes of this program, we've been discussing and analyzing the supplication of Sabah. Let's listen to the passage of this dua and we'll be right back.
وألبسني اللهم من أفضل خلع الهداية والصلاح وأغرس اللهم بعظمتك في شرب جناني ينابيع الخشوع وأجر اللهم لهيبتك من آماق زفرات الدموع وأدب اللهم نزق الخرق مني بأزمة القنوع.
The passage that we just heard of the dua of Sabah reads, وَأَلْبِسْنِ اللَّهُمَّ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ خِلَعِ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالصَّلَاحِ. It means, clothe me, O Allah, with the most excellent robes of guidance and righteousness. Now, in the previous episodes of this program, I explained how this supplication is a very sublime and eloquent supplication, as it has been issued by our great Imam, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, and it's quite figurative. The way that he asks Allah his needs is very figurative. Here he says, وَأَلْبِسْنِ اللَّهُمَّ. That means, O Allah, clothe me with the robes of guidance and righteousness. خِلَعَ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالصَّلَاحِ. Can guidance and righteousness be worn? Well, yes, why not? I mean, figuratively, they can be worn. And even in the Quran, we have verses that talk about clothing. Clothing means to protect, to envelop, to cover. When we cover ourselves, it's actually also a protection. Okay? It's a protection from others, from seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing. Okay? And Allah says in the Quran, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. The clothing of piety is the best. So when we say that, O Allah, clothe me with the robes of hidayah and salah, we mean that He covers us, He protects us with guidance and righteousness, as if our whole body is covered in guidance and righteousness. And we also have in the Quran verses that talk about libas, such as saying how the night is like a clothing. وَاللَّيْلَ لِبَاسَ, or هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. This is about spouses. Allah says that your spouses are your clothing, your robes, your clothes. And you are their clothes. Okay? So this is really important. Now, the next passage states, وَغْرِسِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعَظَمَتِكَ فِي شِرْبِ جَنَانِي يَنَابِيعَ الْخُشُورِ. It means, plant, O Allah, through your tremendousness, the springs of humility in the watering place of my heart. Before we continue this discussion, let's take a short break and we'll be right back.
O open for us, O Allah, the leaves of the morning's door with the keys of mercy and prosperity. Clothe me, O Allah, with the most excellent robes of guidance and righteousness. Plant, O Allah, through your tremendousness, the springs of humility in the watering place of my heart. Cause to flow, O Allah, through fear of you, tears of moaning from the corners of my eyes. Chastise, O Allah, the recklessness of my clumsiness with the reins of contentment.
Thank you, Allah.
Welcome back, dear listeners of Arabic English Radio. This is the Ocean of Dua. We are talking about the supplication of Sabah. We are analyzing this beautiful supplication from Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam. So we got to the passage where it says, وَغْرِسِ اللَّهُمَّ بِعَظَمَتِكَ فِي شِرْبِ جَنَانِي يَنَابِيعَ الْخُشُورِ. Plant, O Allah, through your tremendousness, the springs of humility in the watering place of my heart. Just look how beautiful Amir al-Mu'mineen has stated his needs to Allah. And it's interesting that all of these needs that he has, they are all spiritual. They are not material. He is teaching us that this life, what matters most in our lives is spirituality, not, the physical, the mundane things of this world, this worldly life. So we want our heart to be full of humility, to be springs of humility. And again, he uses figurative speech to state this. Waghris, it means plant, okay? As if you want to plant a spring, a fountain. This is another, actually, a collocation in Arabic, that for fountains and springs, they also use the verb igris, to plant. It's as if we are planting a fountain. And it's interesting, when we dig the earth, and we dig a lot, we might reach a fountain or a well which gushes forth water. Okay, and so we want these fountains and springs of humility in our hearts. Janan means heart. Okay, the next passage reads, وَأَجْرِ اللَّهُمَّ لِهَيْبَتِكَ مِنْ آمَاقِ زفرات الدموع وأجر اللهم لهيبتك من آماق زفرات الدموع. Cause to flow, O Allah, through fear of you, tears of moaning from the corners of my eyes. It's such a good feeling when we have that spiritual feeling, when we can actually feel Allah and we feel his greatness, and then out of fear we start to moan and we start to cry and we shed tears, and tears start to flow from the corners of our eyes. This is one of the wishes of every human being, to cry out of joy, to out of love for Allah, and to have this feeling of love for Allah and to cry for Allah. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen is teaching us, that these are the pleasures of this world. The pleasures of this world are not just eating really delicious food or very refreshing drinks. No,
weeping, shedding tears for Allah, moaning, and, you know, wailing in the way of Allah. These are the true pleasures of this world. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Ocean of Dua on RIB English Radio. Until next time, I'll leave you in the care and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through half my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Qazvin is located next to one of Iran's main north-south transit corridors. Many people driving along this road also pay a visit to this historic city. And one of the reasons is to eat. So my curiosity dragged me all the way to downtown Qazvin to find out more about food culture in this city.
It is time to get ready for a festival of color and flavor. Everyone's invited. In the city's historic caravanserai lies a kitchen where they turn ingredients into magic. If there is one place you should forget about your diet, it would be right here.
If you're on a gastronomic journey across Iran, you would easily be able to find Iran's national dishes in every restaurant on your way. But to get a taste of more folklore food, sometimes you have to travel to particular areas of the country, such as Qazvin City. I suggest we take a look into the kitchen to see what Qazvini cuisine is all about.
Traditional Qazvini foods are made of some of the best ingredients in the world. It's a pity we can't show you the whole process of preparing all these dishes due to our short program. Only looking at each dish is enough to awaken that dragon in your belly.
In addition to exclusive dishes, the people in this city pay a lot of attention to what they drink. That's why traditional drinks made of herbs and seeds are extremely popular here.
In the old times, bathing had its own traditions. One of them was to treat yourself with traditional drinks called sharbat and brewed herbs after you came out of the bath. That was when the owner of the Sharbat house prescribed you a drink that would help you shape up after a long bath. He did this by simply looking at the color of your face.
Our journey would not be complete without tasting the very special sweets and pastries of Qazvin City. What I have here in front of me is called baklava or baklava. It's a bomb of energy and happiness, the richest and the most outstanding edible souvenir of Qazvin City. I'm going to have one.
To the people in Qazvin, baklava is pride. It is so important that no visitor leaves a city without it. In this old confectionery, they've been baking baklava for 3 generations. In every corner of this country, you're guaranteed a warm and friendly hospitality. Iran, the land of endless flavors and new experiences. Amir Mehdi Kazemi for Iran.
I'm a huge fan of the rustic style, and I just love any sort of object that seems to have aged gracefully. Now, today we're going to meet a very special someone whom I'd like to call a magician, a sorcerer, an alchemist who turns an ordinary object into an antique. So, if you love anything a little bit rusty and crusty, then follow me inside. Abracadabra.
Ismail Reza Mohammadi is passionate about collecting signs from the past and has been using the art of patina to create and capture that look. With a sculpting background, several years' experience in painting and photography, coupled with a love for history and Iran's culture and heritage, he has been involved in countless revamps of decor objects and also creating high-quality models for museums for over 20 years. Patina is the art of making objects look old and antique-like. The artist masterfully applies color to objects to create a tarnished look. The whole aim is to build up an old and rustic effect, producing a green or brown film on the surface of the object that seems to have been created over time by oxidation.
It's all about finding beauty in the ordinary, paying attention to the smallest of details, and also playing with light and color.
But the art of patina is not just restricted to decor objects. It's also perfect for furniture, such as tables, chairs, bookshelves, and even built-in cabinets. This art form is also used for decorating walls, windows, and ceilings, giving the house an elegant look with traces of time. The art of patina is rooted in history, and its traces go back to ancient Egypt. In the 1920s, patina turned into a professional career, and during the 80s and the 90s, this art form went through a great transformation and became very popular among the artists.
The coins refer to different historical periods in the country, and we all love to have a version of them at home, either in the form of a stand or in the form of jewelry.
To Today, students in different fields of study take part in patina courses, mastering the required skills and fulfilling their dreams of creating an antique-like piece of artwork. Learning the art of patina is taming the passage of time, respecting and recreating the depth it imparts to objects. A warm, charming, vintage, and time-worn look that takes you back to the good old days of the past. Hodalezgi for Iran.
Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, hello and welcome. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at some of the contents of Surah Ankabut. So now let's listen to the 44th verse of Surah Ankabut.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
خلق الله السماوات والأرض بالحق إن في ذلك لآية للمؤمنين.
Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth. Indeed, in that is a sign for the believers.
Previously, dear listeners, you may remember that we talked about the destiny and the sad, actually, final destitute of those pagans. And the Almighty Allah said that they were all punished by the Almighty Allah. They had different kinds of punishment. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاسِبًا. Some of them we seized them with punishment. Some of them we sent a violent tornado for them. Some of them were caught by a mighty blast. مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةَ. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And some of them we caused the earth to swallow them up. Now all of these punishments, all of these destinies, all of these final endings and states, but still some people do not understand. Some people do not think how powerful the Almighty Allah is. In the previous verses, we talked about the fact that the Almighty Allah is using parables. Almighty Allah is setting forth parables of the for the ones whom these pagans, these polytheists, are actually worshipping. In the أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ, the Holy Quran says, the ones whom they are actually worshipping, they're just like the how the webs of spider in terms of its weak structure and its weak material. So, the very 43rd verse ended, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْآلِمُونَ. We are setting forth these parables and examples, but only the learned ones understand. And now, in this 44th verse, the Almighty Allah says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah created the heavens and the earth with truth. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily in this, there is a sign for the believers. So, the first and foremost thing that we understand is that the creation of the world has an aim. Our look unto the world must have an aim too, because the Almighty Allah created them with aim. And the materialists usually stop in recognizing the phenomena, but the worshippers of the Almighty Allah, those theists, pass through phenomenon and reach the recognition of Allah and faith. That's why this verse announces, Allah created the heavens and the earth with truth. خَلَقَ اللَّهَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. But how? بِالْحَقِّ, with truth. There is no vanity. There is no falsehood in the affairs of the Almighty Allah. If He brings forth parable to spider and its weak house, it is not undue. And if he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has chosen a small creature for the parable, it is for stating the truth. Else he is the creator of the greatest galaxies and systems in heaven. And it is interesting that the end of the verse, the Holy Quran emphasizes on knowledge and faith. Let us have a break and we'll be back. So, dear listeners, regarding this 44th verse, we said that at the very end of it, the Almighty Allah focuses and emphasizes on knowledge and faith. So, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Surely in this, there is a sign for the believers. So, this meaning is pointing to this fact, that the feature of the truth is clear like sunshine, but it appears in receptive ones. Only the ones who are receptive, only the ones who are careful, only the ones who are considerate will be able to understand it. This message of God, this sign, can only be understood by seeking heart, by vigilant and submissive spirits before the Almighty Allah. And if these blind-hearted people do not see the divine beauty, it is not because of its being hidden, but it is because of their blind eyes. That's what the Holy Quran has mentioned in many different verses of this of these chapters, actually, for us, because it is really important to be living among all these signs. And when you are living among all these signs, if you are ignorant of them, if you do not notice any of them, you will be having your normal life, and automatically you will be ruling out these signs of the Almighty Allah from your life. But the Almighty Allah says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. Surely in creating the heavens and the earth is a sign. But for whom? For the believers, for the ones who truly submit before the Almighty Allah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
The whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Greetings, dear listeners, and a sincere thank you for joining us here on Iran Radio. We begin with another segment of radio productions. Next, we present Ulema's speech. In this program, you'll hear excerpts from the original Farsi and Arabic lectures of
esteemed Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities. Accompanied by English translation, it's a unique opportunity to hear directly from the scholars who shape our understanding of faith and practice. Then Radio Productions returns with more engaging content. Concluding this hour is Minbar. Up next is time for another segment of Radio Productions. Please stay with us.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
تنزل الملائکه و روح روح سوال میکنن روح میگه روح فرشته است که بالاتر از بقیه فرشته است.
The angels and the spirit or ruh descend. They ask about the spirit or ruh. The spirit is an angel who is higher than the other angels, meaning higher than Gabriel, Israel, Michael and other angels. The angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of the Lord for every matter. Their descent is by the permission of their Lord, for every matter means they descend to carry out every affair. The angels descend to carry out every affair. The night of Qadr is a night when man is the link between earth and heaven. Our deeds go to heaven and the angels come to earth. The angels and the spirit descend therein by permission of their Lord for every matter. The angels descend.
از امام صادق پرسیدن روح همون جبرئیل فرمود جبرئیل از ملائکه است.
امام صادق علیه السلام was asked, is this spirit the same as Gabriel? He said, Gabriel is from the angels. The spirit, or a ruh, is superior to the angels. When he recited this verse, he said, the angels and the spirit descend. He mentioned the name spirit, it means the ruh, separately. Things whose names are mentioned separately mean their rank is higher. For example, nusuk